leading us in worship. That was a powerful time this morning. Glad that you're here, and congratulations is in order this morning to Kathy Smith. And she graduated from Bible College, Emmanuel Bible College, yesterday, and we were there and celebrated with her. And I think we should express our thanks to her. I'm not sure whether Kathy's here or whether in the first service. Kathy and Joel are taking on responsibility in leading our youth. And so we're excited about that. We're moving David out of that responsibility in some other areas that we're excited about him giving leadership to. So good things are happening as we go forward. Also, as was mentioned, small groups are starting this week, and you will need this book, Is There More to Life Than Living? And there are some at the back. Encourage you to pick that up. You'll need it to be part of the small group. If you're attending the small group, you're going to get this one, a study guide that goes with it, and they are coming in tomorrow. So, not tomorrow. We're getting more of these books tomorrow, but so you won't have a study guide for this week, but there will be one the following week. But it's okay, because we have a special message this morning that's going to introduce our whole series, and then the small groups will be on that today. Just met between services with the small group leaders, and they're all ready. They're pumped, and we're going to have a great time in small groups as we apply things that we're learning here in the meetings. 10 weeks we're going to be studying. Small groups will be around the topics of the book and the biblical study that's here. So I'm excited. It's going to be really good. Really going to be good. Now this morning, the message is entitled, Get a Life. Get a dot, which should speak to you about something. Life. L-I-F-E. Get a life. And so this book talks about the life aspect, and this message this morning is about the A, get a life. When we were putting this together years ago and we were studying about the main characteristics of a Christian, L-I-F-E, of course, was one that we shared, but we talked about another one that started with S, and you're going to see this in a moment when we get into the message, but didn't really sound right to say slife, get a slife, but this A is appropriate, and you'll see why as we talk about it this morning. You can take the fill-in sheet and your bulletin out, follow along with us so that you have the material to take home with you to review. You know, when I think about the phrase, get a life, we tell people, get a life. You need to get a life. I'm reminded of William Shatner, who played Captain Kirk in the Star Wars series, and of course that was back in the late 60s, and quite a cult has grown up around it, even to this day. But in the early days, there was a cult. They had conventions, Star Trek conventions. The program had been off the air for years, and they had William Shatner come and speak at this, and when he came in, and he saw everybody dressed in the different gear and the stuff from Star Trek, he famously said, as he stood in front of the group, he said, you guys need to get a life. He was criticized for it, but actually he pulled that back, but he probably was right. They needed to get a life. Because when you say to get a life to someone, it means, you know, what you're involved in is trivial. It's non-consequential. I mean, this doesn't mean anything in the bigger scheme of things. You need to get a life. You need to make your life count for something. And so really, that's what we're talking about here. We need to get a life. And thankfully, Jesus came to give us life. Here's our key verse, John 10:10. When I signed different books, usually as I signed the book, I would put somewhere in there this reference to John 10:10. Because this is the theme of today, and it's also the theme of our study over the next 10 weeks. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The Lord has a meaningful life for every one of us. He came to give it to us. We all need to get a life. And thankfully, the Lord's made that way for us. Now, to get a life, we have to get the A first. So let's get right to it. Here's your first fill-in. To receive a new life, we need to come into alignment with God. Alignment. That's the A. Alignment. It's so vitally important. Many people don't see this. I hope by the end of this morning, you'll have a new appreciation for coming into alignment with God. Colossians 2:19 says this, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." So the church is called a body. Christ is the head. We're all individual parts of that body. We're knit and joined together, joints and ligaments. Those are the things that hold us together as Christians. And we grow in life. We're going to grow in our life. But you notice that the life comes from being in the body, and that this is an alignment. The head's at the top, and then there are members, and as they used to sing in the old song, the right foot's connected to the knee bone, the knee bone's connected to the so-and-so all the way through, because the body is connected. It is aligned. Now listen to the definition, just the dictionary definition of alignment. I put it in the notes. It's a correct or appropriate relative positions. Correct or appropriate relative positions. So if something is aligned, it's in its proper place. It's one under another, lined up properly. Here's the second definition of alignment. A position of agreement or alliance. Now, both of these aspects of the definition of alignment speaks to our connection with God. We need to take our place under His headship. We have to align ourselves with God. He is the head. We come under Him. And we have to come into agreement with God. Agreement with God. And so, alignment is finding our right position and agreeing with God. So here's your next fill-in if we're going to have alignment. For alignment with God, we need to humble ourselves and admit and submit. Listen, God is God. If anybody's going to shift position, guess who it's going to be? Us. So there are some things we have to admit, and then we have to submit to come into this agreement with God. Here's the first thing, and it's your next fill-in. We need to admit we need a Savior. We need to admit that we need a Savior. We have to confess that our efforts alone at running our life is not going to work. That our actions and thoughts apart from God are not the best. It's going to bring us to destruction. It's going to bring hurt. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends of that way is death. We might think, I don't need God. I can run my life. I know how to have a good marriage. I know how to raise my kids. I know how to have good relationships. I know how to run my finances. You might think that. But just live it out a bit, and you'll find it's not. And you have to die to that pride of independence from God, and you have to admit that I need a Savior. This is how Paul put it in Romans chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, there is something that everyone needs to come to the conclusion to. And if you're honest with yourself, you realize it's true. You have the desire to do it. I want to do it. I will to do it. But then you don't follow through. All you got to do is think about New Year's resolutions. All you got to think about, in just a very natural sense, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. It's easy to will it. It's harder to do it. And now it's not just that, but it comes into so many other areas. I'm going to break that addiction. I'm not going to get lost in that. I'm not going to let that habit control me. I'm not going to let that lust rise up in me. I'm going to overcome that. But you find out you can't. This portion of Scripture, interestingly, and I think I've shared this before, is the first portion of Scripture that I ever, that came alive to me as a boy. I was in 9, 10 years of age. We were in Sunday school. They had us memorizing some verses, and they were going to give us a quiz on it. And I remember reading these verses, and I was just like 10 or 11 years of age. And I remember thinking to myself, that's me. Just in my little 10-year-old, that's me. I want to do what's right, and I can't do it. The things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Now, listen, I hadn't even reached puberty at that point, and I was still identifying with this portion of Scripture because it is fundamental to the human life. And not only that we can't do what we want to do, it says in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You cannot muster enough strength within yourself to satisfy God's standards. You can turn around to another, say, well, I'm not a Christian, they're a Christian, I live better than them. That may be true to some extent. But neither of you are going to live up to God's standards, because his standard is perfection. And you're not going to make it. And your carnal mind's not allowed. In fact, it can't. The Scripture says it can't be subject to God. You and your own self, apart from God, will not be able to satisfy God's standards. Now, here's the bad news. My sin will cause the just wrath of God upon my life. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall surely die. If you have sin, which we all do and we see, there's a judgment that hangs over our head. We're all going to, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is over everyone. See, you've got to admit, you've got to agree to that. That's part of alignment. You will never come under God's provision of salvation when you stand apart from him, where you say, I don't need a Savior. I don't need to trust him. Others may, for weak people, but I don't need that in my life. Your pride will keep you separated, and the just penalty of your sin will fall upon you. The very first thing to come into alignment with God is you have to admit you need a Savior. And you humble yourself and say, I need that. And what do? You repent. The biblical word is when you come to God, you repent. Now, what does that mean to repent? Does it mean to stop all sinning? Well, no, we've already seen you can't do that, even if you wanted to. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn. Where do you repent? In your heart. You turn back to God. You admit that God is God. You're not God. You see, God's got this problem. He thinks he's God. And if anyone's going to change or move, we have to. We're the ones that have to change. We have to come into alignment. We are the ones that repent in our heart. We humble ourselves. We say, God, I need you. I want you. Or I want to receive your provision for me. You'll never have God's life until you align and agree with him. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. This shows how God did it. Let me give you the fill-in first. God made peace through Jesus. He is our peace. Our peace is a person. Listen to how it words in Ephesians 2. For he himself is our peace. He who has made both one has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now, this is talking in the context of how he brought peace between Jewish people and Gentile people. The Jewish people were trying to keep the law, and the Gentile people didn't even know there was a law. But this also speaks of the separation between God and man. God's 100% right. We're 100% wrong. We can't do anything to get back to God because we're not able to. There's a wall. There's a separation between us. God can't just come to man because he's sinful. His justice says that sin must be judged. So here's God on one side, man on the other side. There's a wall between them. How are we going to be reconciled to God? Here's what God did. He made peace through the cross. And when he hung on the cross, he broke down the middle wall of partition that was between us. Here's what he did. He satisfied his justice because Jesus took the sins of all the world upon himself, and he died on the cross for our sins, satisfying that just penalty of sin. But also on the cross, he forgave mankind and said, I'll let my death be for you. So he satisfied his mercy that now man can come to Christ. Christ is the center. The cross is the center. God has moved to the cross, as it were, or not necessarily moved, but he has implemented the cross. Man now has to align himself by coming and accepting what Jesus did on the cross. Our peace is not in a doctrine. It's not in going to church. It's not in reading your Bible. It's not trying to live a better life than someone else. Our peace is when we align ourselves, come under the head. He made one in his own body. So the salvation is in Christ, not in what you have done. Listen, just a few verses later in Colossians 3:3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when he appears in glory, we shall appear with him. Our life is hidden in God. Only one person could go to heaven. That's Jesus. He's the head. We get in as his body. We get in because we are positioned in Christ. We get to heaven not because of our condition, but because of our position. We get in because he has accepted us in the beloved. He's made one man in Christ. God is in Christ. And man now comes into Christ, and we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. He is our peace. Outside of Jesus, there's no reconciliation. So you see alignment, how important it is for your salvation? You have to align yourself with what God has done, and because you are aligned, now you receive his life that flows through you when you take a position in the body. But it's one of submission. Here's your next fill in. We need to submit to his will. Submit to his will. Now, this is where alignment and submission meet. Remember I said earlier we used to talk about life? Submission is so important. When you think about what characterizes a Christian, in the book here, we talked about L-I-F-E, love, integrity, forgiveness, and excellence. That incorporates the life. But there's an A, alignment, and alignment is submission. You can't stand on your own. You have to align yourself with God. Our stance before Christ is always a bent knee and a bowed head. That is the traditional stance when someone prays. You kneel and you bend your head. Not that you have to do it, as we know, but it is a stance that shows my alignment. Not my will, your will be done. I bend my knee. I bow my head. I'm no longer the head. You're the head. you come into agreement with Christ. You will never experience the life of God without this stance. You need to submit to his will. You need to take him as Lord as well as Savior. A lot of Christians, they just want him as Savior. Oh, I'm just glad he forgave my sins. And then we just go about living our own life. But he'll forgive me of my sins. They never have the concept that he's Lord and Savior. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Jesus said to the people. They didn't have a heart to serve him. See, your heart has to surrender to God. You agree with God about your condition. You accept his salvation. You humble yourself. And in that submission, you are now in a line where his power and life flows to you. If you do not align yourself with God, then his kingdom won't grow in you. His kingdom, we even pray it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus said that's how we're to pray. That's our stance. Jesus in Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus showed us the submission, the alignment. And so we come with a heart yielded to God. Repentance, surrender, submission. Your inner being submits to God. You get off the throne of your life. There's a throne in your heart. If you sit on it, then God's life will not flow to you. You will be saying, well, I accept Christ, but you're not going to experience the rule of Christ in your life. And listen, folks, he can run your life a whole lot better than you can. He knows all about you. When we want to sit on the throne of my life, what are we saying? I know better than God. I know better than God. I know it says this. We don't submit to his will. We'll read something in the Bible, but we think it's optional. Well, I'm a Christian. I know the Bible. I've had people say, well, I know the Bible says that, but I think that's a little extreme to do that. Listen, if you're not aligned with his word, this is his word. When you read something in the scripture, then you need to realize that's my law. It's his kingdom. He's my Lord. This is what he said. I'm aligning with it. I'm not going to twist the scripture. I'm not going to bend it around to say it doesn't really mean what it says because I want to do what I want to do. We don't get to pick and choose. When the Lord says jump, we jump. When he starts to say, I want you to, you immediately say yes. You don't even wait till the sentence gets out of his mouth. As soon as he says, yes, Lord, yes. It's an eternal yes we say to the Lord all the time. We are living in submission to his will. It may go against my natural ideas. It might go against how I think. I might think this hurts me, but it doesn't matter. I'm submitted to him. I'm aligned with him. Listen, until you come to that conclusion, you will not have the full life of Christ flow through you. Amen. Something will hinder. You're not in alignment. It's not your efforts. It's your positioning. Amen. You may not be able to do all in yourself what you know, but you say yes. You never stick out in defiance. You never put your will up against God. When you read something in his word, you say, yes, that's for me. Lord, help me. May your life help me to do this. I remember years ago, we had a couple come to the church, and they are now church planters around the world. They've started hundreds of churches. But they came when they were here in the church, and they were telling about how they first came to the Lord. Their marriage was on the rocks. They were fighting with one another because they were both very strong-willed people. But they got saved and genuinely saved and genuinely understood that they were submit. And I remember him sharing, we get in bed tonight, at night in bed, and we take the Bible, and we get so excited because they'd start reading. And they had determined whatever God's word says we're going to do. We're not going to argue against it. So they saw how husbands should act and how a wife should respond and how they should do their finances. And everything was just a yes, 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 yes. And they were so excited realizing what we tried didn't work. Let's do it God's way. And now God has blessed them and they have started hundreds and hundreds of churches. All because they were aligned with God's will. Well, what about us? We want to pick and choose. We think we know better. I mean, just stop and think for a moment. Do you really think you know better? If you thought it through, you'd see how ridiculous it is. But I hear people get mad at God. Well, I'm mad at God. Mad at God? He didn't do something right? Didn't do what he should have done? Why in the world would you get mad at God? He knows all things. His ways are not our ways. His timing isn't always our timing. But he does all things well. Why in the world would I ever get mad at God? You see, but I see it with so many Christians. They're not aligned. And what they're upset by, they don't have his life. Well, I want more of God. I want to see more of this. And they don't realize they have short-circuited it. Because they haven't aligned themselves. Their pride is there. They know better. But I tell you, the person that softens their heart. See, it's our pride that keeps it. And God speaks to his people. He says, you're stubborn. You're hard-hearted. You're stiff-necked. See, that's what we got to break in us. He's your Lord and Savior. And when you submit to him, then you see the blessing flow into your life. You can see the power flow through you. But it won't happen until you align yourself. You need the A to get his life. You need to get a life. And when you do, you're going to see that life flow into you in marvelous, marvelous ways. Now let's go on and see the practical application of this in the next fill-in. Our new life is manifested by submitting to God's delegated authority. Delegated authority. The authorities that's here on earth, it's not so much God, but he has delegated authority to them. Now, who are those authorities? Police, judges, teachers, parents. God's delegated authorities. Now listen to these verses in Romans 13. They're powerful verses. These are ones that your stubborn, prideful heart will try to reject. But listen to these verses. Let every soul, every soul, be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject. Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Because if you've submitted to God, and he tells you to submit to those he's delegated authority to, your conscience should convict you when you don't. So he says, don't just do it because of wrath that might come, or the punishment that comes by bucking authority, but you do it out of conscience towards God. Now, this is where it really gets interesting, isn't it? Because we can say, I submit to God. But I don't want to submit to that person because that's just a person. But the scripture says you got to see that every authority, there's no authority that isn't from God. And God gets real personal when you challenge his authority because it's his nature. And he has put authorities in this world. Now, as I look at the scripture, I see four levels of authority, four structures of authority that God has established. And you can fill them in as we go here. One is governmental authorities. Governmental authorities. These are elected officials, prime minister, members of parliament, judges, police. They're governmental authorities. Revenue Canada. Well, it wouldn't be Revenue Canada. They asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Well, they figured they really got Jesus on this question. Because if he says yes, they're going to say, Caesar? He came in and conquered us. He's put on godly regulations over us. He oppresses us. So they figured if he says yes, well, the people are going to just rebel against him. But if he says no, then the Romans are going to get after him because they're challenging their authority. So they think they have Jesus. So here's what Jesus says. Bring me a coin. So they bring him a coin. He says, whose image is on the coin? They said, Caesar. Who's the inscription? Rome. He said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Give unto God the things that are God's. Interesting, Jesus never told them not to pay taxes. In fact, when he had taxes to be paid, they didn't have money. He said to Peter, go catch a fish. There's money in the fish's mouth. Now, God has that access to printing coins, but... But he paid his taxes. Are you paying your taxes? Do you not report everything? You have a business? You'll do it under the table? Give me cash. I do this all the time. I'm getting work done. If you give me cash, it'll be this amount. If you want a check and a receipt, it'll be a higher amount. You know what I say to them? I need the receipt. And a lot of times I pay more because I'm giving tax to who taxes due. Say, well, they don't deserve that extra 5%. That's better in my pocket than theirs. You know something? That 5% you think you're getting will be blown away in a moment with God's disfavor upon your life, your loss of integrity, your lack of submission to authority. You know that when you do something because you do it as unto the Lord, he can bless you back in a moment. He'll bless you in a day with 10 times the amount of money that you think you expended because you were submitting. You'll never go wrong in doing it God's way. Listen to me. I have proven this over the years. You'll never go wrong in submitting to authority. That is a sign of a Christian. We don't just submit to God, we submit to his authorities. We honor the king. We honor authority. We don't speak negatively and derogatory of our leaders. Have you caught yourself talking that way about Justin Trudeau? Whether you like or not like it, he's in that position and he's ordained by God. Doesn't mean every leader in a position does what's right. Caesar certainly wasn't doing what was right. But you submit to the degree you can. See, you don't submit to a leader who tells you to sin. You don't submit to that. You don't submit to a leader who tells you to do something that you know God has told you to do. Because they said to the disciples when they arrested them, you don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus here. We command you don't speak in his name anymore. What did they say? They respectfully responded to the authority. And they said, you know what? We hear what you're saying, but you need to choose. Think about it. We have to obey God rather than man. And they beat them and then let them go. They didn't obey a false command. But on the other hand, if it's not an area of sin, and it's just a matter of area where they have put some things around us, you're to submit. I remember one man talking about, told me when he saw this, he used to thank the police officer when they gave him a ticket. And said, thank you, I deserve that. I appreciate the fact that you are showing me that I broke the laws of the land. Now, I'm not, but it was his way of aligning himself. So the first one's governmental authority. The second one is family authority. Husbands, fathers, mothers, elders. There are things in the scripture that within the family, there's authority. And God recognizes those authorities. And I don't have time to go into the Old Testament, but there are times when a person, a son or a daughter, did something, if the father came and said no, that removed the thing over the child. I won't go into the details of it. But the father had authority over that home. So much so, and I don't recommend this, and obviously this is the extreme, but it shows it. In the Old Testament, if a son rebelled against the father, you know what they were to do? Bring the son before the elders. And you tell before the congregation of the people how the son had rebelled and been disrespectful of the father. And then they stone the son to death. Now, obviously, that is the extreme of just justice. And God is more than justice. He also is a God of mercy. And just as we are deserving of death, but he made a way through Jesus Christ for us to have mercy. I'm not saying that parents need to do that. I'm just showing you in the scripture how strong this is. This is a principle that's in God's word. And teenagers, you need to be very careful how you speak to your parents, how you relate to them. Because you are responsible before God to recognize your father, your mother. And the Bible says to honor them when they're old. If they're old, you're older and probably an adult. Now, you don't have to obey them. It just says obey them as you're an adult. But it does say honor them. You speak to them with respect. You honor what they've done for you. This is important for us. This is family authority. That's not just my husband. That's not just my wife. They have a position that we need to honor and be respectful of. Here's the third one. Church authority. Church authorities. Pastors, elders, ministry leaders. The scripture says to obey those who are over you in the Lord. For they need to give an account of you before the Lord. Let them, you obey them so that they can give that account with joy. So this is God's word. This is not something that we are making up. This is in God's word. It all comes to alignment, humbling yourself, recognizing God is in control, trusting him, not your own will or what you think. And God will always prove himself to be strong in it. Here's the fourth area, social authorities, such as bosses and foremen and supervisors and teachers and coaches, anywhere where you've entered into some kind of social contract. I'm going to that school or I'm working at this place of employment. Once you agree and you enter into that social contract, then it's incumbent on you to submit to the authorities within that structure. You don't speak ill of your boss. You don't criticize him or her to someone else. You're respectful. You're honoring. God sees authority so strong. This is the strongest I've ever seen. When Israel is in Egypt under an evil Pharaoh, God doesn't allow his people to leave until the Pharaoh says they can. Now, God put tremendous pressure on the Pharaoh to say yes by all the plagues that came. But the pressure came so Pharaoh would say yes, because in that situation they were in Egypt under the command of the Pharaoh, and he was being unjust to them. They cried out for deliverance, and God put pressure on the leader of that of Egypt so that he would say yes. Now, do you see how strong this is? He didn't override Pharaoh's authority. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and he turns it whatsoever way he desires. And when you're in a situation where you're being oppressed by a leader, then you need to go to God, and God will take that heart of the king in his hand. He'll squeeze it. He'll turn it so that they actually under such pressure that they respond the way they should, and you're free. But if you don't align yourself, if you act in rebellion, then that life doesn't flow. You begin to be subject to your own pride. See, this is a powerful thing. I don't think we stress this enough as Christians to realize how important this is. Submission to God's authorities. Whether they're, the Bible says, even the Bible, if you got a boss, a slave owner, now that really gets to it, doesn't it? Because we would know slavery's not right. Do you know the Bible says that slaves should do well to their slave owner? Not because God condones slavery, but in that society, they were in a situation where that was the contract of the time. It should have been broken. Thank God it was broken. Thank God that Christians led the way to undo slavery, and that's how it should be. So don't take anything that I'm saying to condone slavery. It was a terrible thing. But I just want you to see, you can't ignore the fact that in the Bible, they were said, even when you've got someone that treats you badly, you act right towards the Lord. See, God frees us when we do it his way. These are hard words. I mean, these are hard words. Because there's situations where we really chafe under. But either God's word is right or it's not. And I have discovered the more I submit to someone that I think is mistreating me, the more it turns in my favor. Here's our last verse and our last fill-in. Alignment with God's authority brings favor. It brings favor. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. The king's face is life. When you submit to the king, and the word king here is speaking of all authorities. When you submit to God's authorities, in the face of that submission, there's life. All the things we want, the life of God to grow in us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. All those things we want in our life. It is produced out of perseverance many times and out of hardship, out of submission. But as you submit as unto the Lord, he brings favor. He changes the situation. And you have life, and then the favor of the Lord rests upon you. You begin to find things happen in your life you had no reason to think. Something happens, you get a break, you get an advantage here, you get a promotion, you get a job opportunity. Something else happens just out of the blue. You don't know how it happened. You just get blessed. But it comes out of this alignment with God and God's authorities. Well, I'm preaching to myself today. Because as I'm preaching, I'm thinking about areas maybe I don't submit enough. And such it should be. Would you stand with me this morning? This is the characteristics of a Christian. We are aligned with God's will. We submit to authority. How are you feeling? God speak to you this morning? As we're going through this message, do you feel some conviction in some area of your life? That's good if you did, because it shows that God's working in you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in life. He wants to produce something in you. Now you have a choice. And here's what I'm saying. Say yes. Say yes. Just say yes to the Lord. And walk it out. Soften your heart. Don't have a hard heart. Don't have a stiff neck. Just say yes. Okay. I'm going to do that. My attitude's changing. I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. So the Bible says, you do it as unto the Lord. You got, it says in the Bible, you got someone that's treating you badly and he's over you in some kind of authority. So just do it as unto the Lord, as if the Lord asked you. Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. If you do things as unto the Lord, you're going to get a tremendous reward coming back. Just do it as unto Jesus. Soften your heart. If God spoke to you in some way that you know, something's touched you in your heart, just acknowledge it. Just raise your hand. Say, yeah, you know, something spoke to me today. Yeah, something spoke to me. It's in my heart. Just hold your hand up and hold it. Keep it up, because they're going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us today. We want to get aligned. We want to receive the full power of the flow of your life into us. We don't want to have any crimps in our lifeline. Lord, we want to align ourselves that there is an open flow of your power, life, blessing, favor into ourselves. Lord, we see this morning that we crimp it off when we do not submit to those who are over us in the Lord, and we're not submitting to your will. We're going our own way. Lord, may we be humbled this morning, soft hearts to receive your word and to walk this out in the name of Jesus. Lord, everyone that's here this morning, may we feel that ongoing power and life flow into us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.